You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. Basketball Tigers back on the floor tonight at home against Georgia. We'll get you a preview of that game coming up. But I do want to talk about a couple of storylines that have come up with respect to LSU's offensive staff search, with, of course, Jake Peets and DJ Mangus being on campus Tuesday, interviewing for the jobs. There's two things I've heard. One is, well, why wouldn't Joe Brady take these guys with him, keeping in mind that Brady is set to interview for three head coaching jobs? The other thing that people have mentioned, I've heard a little bit, is, do you really want to hire young coordinators who might be gone in a year or so? Now, we don't know definitively if Brady's going to get one of those jobs. That's number one. Just because you're interviewing doesn't mean you're going to get the job. And something that I would always say, and I've always learned, is you always have the conversation. You never turn down an interview. You never know what someone has to say and how, even if it doesn't get you a job now, it might create a relationship that gets you some type of in or opportunity down the road. Look at Joe Brady and his opportunity with LSU. He was doing the clinic, kind of teaching as a staff, interchange ideas. That's where he got on LSU's radar, and it worked really well. So, number one, we don't know that Joe Brady is going to get a head coaching job. And two, quite honestly, a college coordinator position is going to position you better than an assistant job in the NFL, especially a Power 5 coordinator position, where if you're at LSU, an OC could make $1.5 million, $2 million. Passing game coordinator, I mean, Joe Brady had verbally agreed to a contract that was going to pay him north of $1 million in 2020 before he jumped ship and took the Panthers job. So if you're going to be a coordinator at the NFL level, then yes, your contract can exceed $1 million. But at the college level, a coordinator job is going to pay you more than an assistant job in the NFL. And look at the launch pad. It's rare that you see a situation like, for example, we share Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell is currently the Saints tight ends coach. Dan Campbell's been requested to interview for the Detroit Lions head coaching job. But remember, Campbell's been on teams' radars because he was the interim head coach for the Dolphins after Joe Philbin got fired in 2015. So it's a little bit of an outlier. It's rare that you go from being a position coach or an assistant on an NFL staff to NFL coordinator or head coach like that. So if you're Jake Peets and you've been in the NFL now for seven seasons, and you spent two different stints, by the way, at Alabama, 2013 and 2018. If you're Jake Peets, this makes a ton of sense. You go run this offense that you know. You've been in the SEC twice at Alabama as an analyst, so you know the conference, you know the division, you know a lot of the teams, the skill, what's expected, how the programs run and operate. And you know you'd be Joe Brady. Go have one great year, you're an NFL coordinator. You could be Steve Sarkisian. Go coach these freak show athletes and then be a head coach at Texas. You could be Dave Aranda. Go be a defensive coordinator at LSU and then be the head coach at Baylor. Like, you can leverage a Power 5 coordinator job into a head coaching job or an NFL coordinator job. Happens all the time. That's the logical step. So why wouldn't Joe Brady take these guys with him? He should. I mean, they're like, of course, he clearly thinks a lot of them to recommend them. But the reality is, if you're those guys, why would you pass on LSU? If you're just going to go be an assistant under Joe Brady, wherever it may take him, eventually you've got to break free and get your own opportunity. And this could be it for both of those guys to put coordinator next to their name and then use that as the springboard to whatever's next. The other thing that I really want to stress here, because this is and will continue to be a conversation that we have about LSU coaches as this whole process moves along. And I've heard some mention it where they'll say, do you really want to go after a young coach who's ambitious and wants to be a head coach because you might lose him after a year or two? Yes. Yes. A million times. Yes. Give me someone who is ambitious. Give me somebody who wants to be great. Give me someone who's going to be the first in the building and the last one out. Someone who has grander ambitions. And damn it, if you can help them get there, help them get there. You want to know why? Because all that's going to do is make them a Pied Piper to lead other great coaches through your program. Nick Saban replaces assistants every damn year. You want to know why? Because they come in, they learn from him, they coach great players, and they get better opportunities moving forward, which is going to attract the next great wave of candidates. So, yes, to hell with these tired old coaches sitting on eight-figure buyouts that are cruising toward retirement. I'm done with it. If that's your mentality, I don't want to hire a young coach because he may leave. And don't think for a second, don't think for one millisecond that that didn't enter Ed Ogeron's thinking last year. He had Joe Brady, he struck gold with him, and he was gone after a year. And don't think for a second that Ed Ogeron wasn't thinking, do I really want to go through this again in a year? Do I really want to bring in another young, hot assistant, give him this opportunity, and they're gone in a year and I'm back where I am? Don't think for a second that thought didn't enter his mind when he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get this tired, old, washed up former NFL guy, pay him $1 million and let him come on my staff and coach third downs and red zone, which LSU stunk at, by the way, and sayonara Scott Linehan after 1 year. So you're right back in the same situation you would have been anyway. You should always want to surround yourself with great people. If you're ambitious, if you have great dreams and you want to win big, then surround yourself with other people who have those same visions and help them get where they want to go. And all that's going to do is attract more great people to you. That's true anything in life, coaching or business or sports or whatever. So yeah, hire Marcus Freeman. And if he's gone in a year, go get the next great one and say, look what we just did. Come here. Come here, coach elite athletes where we get the best talent, amazing fans, we pay you a ton, and do a great job, and you could be a head coach in a year. Go get the next great offensive mind. Bring them in. Keep them on a conveyor belt because that's the structure LSU has built. We all know this. We like this was the understood structure when Ed Ogeron was hired. He was going to be the CEO. He was going to be the figurehead. He was going to be the guy who organized everything, but LSU was going to invest in great coordinators, pay them to run their sides of the ball, and nail those hires. That look, it's the same thing Arkansas is doing. LSU had great success with it. Teams are copying it. Why not? But Arkansas got Barry Odom as their defensive coordinator, and they got Kendall Briles as their offensive coordinator, and that's worked. And if they lose Barry Odom, we'll see what ultimately Sam Pittman does. LSU had to go through this for the first time. You lose all of your coordinators and you fell flat. Year one in 2017, you hired Matt Canada, you whiffed, and you had to replace him. And then you nailed it with Ensminger and Brady. Okay, do it again. Actually, you didn't nail it the second time because the second time you had Ensminger and Jerry Sullivan. So you actually went whiff, whiff, hit, whiff. 1-4 ain't great, bro. Nail it this time.
As always, we are brought to you by Built Bar and BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar in the world. As a matter of fact, sea salt, chocolate, and caramel in my desk right now. One of their amazing seasonal flavors. Y'all, check out BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar in the world. Take it from someone who, from the time I was in high school, I've eaten protein bars, and I've tried them all. The ones that taste like wafers, the ones that are so thick it feels like it hurts your jaw, you've got to chew through them, the ones that taste chalky, like the ones that claim they're a brownie or a cookie, and you know it never really tastes right. Built Bar did it. They've nailed it. They've got a high protein, low sugar, low calorie, gluten-free protein bar that tastes like a candy bar with 18 amazing flavors. Y'all, go to BuiltBar.com. New Year's resolution, you're trying to lose weight, maybe a meal replacement for breakfast. Maybe this is the healthy midday snack. Instead of going to the vending machine, you grab a Built Bar. Maybe it's the post-workout protein that you need. BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and save 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON and save 20% off at BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bar in the world is Built Bar. Online, BuiltBar.com. 2020 is mercifully over. Time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. LSU basketball back on the floor tonight, Maravich Center, 6 o'clock Central Wednesday, and they'll take on Georgia. Bulldogs started the season 7-0 in their non-conference slate, but they played, quite honestly, a whole lot of nobody. This is a Georgia basketball team, that lost, obviously, the number one pick in the draft, and still here under Tom Crean are looking for stability and to find their footing. The problem that Georgia has run into here is they obviously replaced a good bit from a year ago, and they were picked to finish 13th this year in the SEC. So excuse me while I'm pulling up the schedule here. So this is what Georgia played in the pre-conference. Florida A&M, I believe this is Niagara, Jacksonville, Montana, Samford. They do have a win over Cincinnati. They played Northeastern, so they were 7-0, and then opened SEC play at home against Mississippi State and lost by 10, 83-73. So you're looking at a Georgia team that really just isn't certainly what they were. And remember, LSU finished the regular season a year ago at the Maravich Center against Georgia and absolutely pounded the Bulldogs that day. So Will Wade has had a lot of success against Georgia. Speaking of Wade, here he was on his coach's show previewing the Bulldogs.
Well, Wheeler plays really, really fast. Their point guard, he does a great job getting to the paint. I told you they play up tempo. And so they crash the offensive glass. They create a lot of steals defensively. You know, they've only got two of their five starters back from last year with Wheeler. And then they start Kamara, the big kid, 10, who's a very good player. And then they've got a grad transfer, number five, Kier, from George Mason, who's an excellent, excellent shooter, excellent scorer. They got their sixth man, Garcia, who's a grad transfer from Stony Brook, who's second team all league player up there in the America East. And so they cut hard on offense. You know, we're going to have to be two way players. Like, we're going to have to guard their cuts and guard them. Just not something we've been particularly, it's not been one of our stronger points. And so, you know, we've got to make sure we don't get back cut, we don't get cut up. We got to be a little bit more solid and be two-way players, especially on the defensive end.
Now, of course, the Tigers are coming off a loss on the road against Florida, so 1-1 in conference play, now at home against Georgia. And Will Wade talked about what the message has been to his team this week at practice.
Georgia plays at the 13th quickest pace in the country. They're second in the country in transition conversion rate. So we've got to get back and be able to set our defense. But really, it was based on transition defense, rebounding, hitting, checking out, and being able to guard the ball one-on-one, staying square on the ball, not opening up, not getting whipped.
And for what it's worth, Will Wade, normally candid, said he's liked the response from his team this week at practice.
We had a good practice today. I liked the way our guys bounced back. I liked our response. I thought that was a good first step, and hopefully we can follow that up tomorrow. So we've got to continue to build better habits, you know, just be a little bit tighter in certain areas, especially defensively and rebounding. And so you're not going to win many games. It's just a math equation when you give up 46% offensive rebounding rate to the other team. And you only turn them over 13% of the time. A team you should turn over 20 to 22% of the time. They just get way too many shots on the basket. They just simple math. They don't even have to shoot well, and they can beat you, and they make a bunch of free throws too. Giving up those 9 offensive rebounds to their two big kids. You know, we just got to tighten some things up and be better.
So a really good opportunity for LSU against Georgia at the Maravich Center. Tigers are 9.5 or 10-point favorites, depending on where you lay your bets. But if you look at LSU, it's pretty obvious how the schedule lays out. There's some opportunities early in the season for the Tigers, and then it's a pretty light slate at the end as well. You've got Georgia at home, then you're at Missouri, which is ranked 13th, but LSU can win that game. You're at home against Arkansas, South Carolina, Bama. Then you got to go to Rupp Arena, but Kentucky, as we know, is down. Back-to-back road conference games there with A&M. And then you play Texas Tech in the Big 12 SEC Challenger at Bama, where Coleman Coliseum has always been tough for LSU. Home against Florida. And then you sort of lighten up down the stretch. You got to go to Mississippi State, and you play number 9 Tennessee at home, but at Ole Miss, Auburn, at Georgia, at Arkansas, Vanderbilt to finish. You got to make hay at the beginning, and the end of the schedule and win the ones you can in the middle. And LSU's got a great opportunity tonight to move to 2-1 in conference play with the Georgia Bulldogs coming into the Maravich Center. 6 o'clock tip. We'll certainly have a recap on Thursday's edition here on the Locked On LSU podcast, where we're always brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online. So as I mentioned, depending on where you place your bets, it should be with Bet Online. It's the service that I've used for more than a decade. I talk about it on my radio show and here on the podcast. People always ask, Matt, where do you bet online? Well, Bet Online. BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag. They have you covered if you want to place futures bets, if you want to bet college basketball or football or baseball when it rolls around, any sport. There's been times, honestly, in the summer when I'm bored, I'm betting international basketball overs just if you want to have something fun to play with. You can do it there. Futures, props, it's all there at betonline.ag, betonline.ag. Remember, college football playoff, the national championship game is coming up Monday. Ohio State and Alabama. If you want to have a little coin on the game, get to betonline.ag, betonline.ag. Your 50% welcome bonus. Use the promo code Locked On. It's easy when you go sign up for an account, which is free, by the way. You go to the cashier, you deposit money. You can use a credit card or whatever you want to deposit into your account. They'll give you an option to use a bonus or a promo code for a bonus. You type in Locked On, one word, LOCKEDON, Locked On. They'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. So you put $100 in your account, they'll give you $50 free to play with. For this weekend's NFL games, the College Football National Championship game on Monday, make sure you're betting where I bet. BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag. Wednesdays on Locked On NFL, take a dive into the future of your favorite NFL franchises. Tony Wiggins and James Rapien are joined every week by a Locked On draft expert to talk prospects in the upcoming draft, young NFL players fresh in the league. Did your team have a big rookie performance this week? Or are they shaping up to have a premier draft pick in the 2021 draft? Get everything you need Wednesdays on Locked On NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcast. Speaking of the draft and the next wave of prospects, on Tuesday night, LSU fans and Louisiana fans got to watch a Louisiana native win the Heisman Trophy with a Meats own Devontae Smith. And I'm glad he won it. He was certainly the most deserving player in college football this year. The thing for LSU fans that stings, certainly, is Devontae Smith played high school football at a meet about 45 minutes from LSU's campus, and you saw him go to your rival and win a Heisman. Now, some people certainly could be disappointed with that, but if you look in context, Devontae Smith was a member of the 2017 signing class, and LSU had just fired Les Miles. They hired Ed Orgeron. There was a ton of uncertainty in that transition, and you could hardly blame Devontae Smith for making the decision he did to go to a place that had tremendous stability, where he won a national championship as a freshman, came back for his senior year, is going to be a top 10 pick, won the Heisman Trophy, and could very well win a second national championship, bookending his career in Tuscaloosa with rings. It was the right decision for Devontae Smith. But it's also indicative of the type of player that LSU has let get away in the past that they can no longer let get away. Ja'Marr Chase came to Baton Rouge, and that worked out really well. Certainly, Coy Moore and Kayshon Boutte are off to great starts. And then you look at guys you've signed in this class like Chris Hilton, Jack Besh, and fingers crossed that LSU might be able to get Brian Thomas out of Walker. You got to keep the best players from Louisiana in Louisiana. It's a mantra that Nick Saban started when he was the head coach at LSU. Put a fence around the state. And for the bulk of the last 20 years, LSU's done that with some very notable exceptions. Perhaps the most notable Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for us here on the Locked On LSU podcast. On Thursday, we will recap LSU, Georgia, and hoops, and we'll give you any information we have on the ongoing coaching searches around LSU football. Until then, it's Locked On LSU, your team every day.